All right, go with me to the book of Ruth this morning, and I'll also eventually get you to go to Joshua chapter 1, but that'll be a little while. We'll camp out in Ruth for just a little bit. Ruth chapter 2. Okay, let's all stand again, and we'll read in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. Ruth 2:1. Most of you are familiar with what's happened thus far. Ruth and another Moabitess girl had married two young men that were transplants from the land of Israel, Jews that their family had went to Moab during a time of famine. And then those two men died. In fact, their father died as well and left all of the women folk, the two Moabite girls and their mother-in-law, Naomi, with no children. Naomi ended up going back to Bethlehem, Judah, and Ruth went with her. And that's kind of where we pick up in verse 1 of Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean," that means she's just picking up the leftovers, "ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, that means just by chance, her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who is of the kindred of Elimelech. Now we know that this is not actually chance, it's the hand of God. Verse 4, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.' Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?'" Talking about Ruth. "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.' And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, 'Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn.' Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, 'Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?' And Boaz answered and said unto her, 'It hath fully been showed unto me, or been showed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.' Then she said, 'Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken freely unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens.' And Boaz said unto her, 'At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar.' And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left." And that's all we'll read. I appreciate you standing with me. I want to preach on that phrase, "dip thy morsel in the vinegar," down in verse number 14. Most of you have been in church all your life, or if you've not been in church all your life, you've been in church long enough to know that Ruth is a picture of the church. She calls herself a stranger in verse number 10. She said, "Why shouldest thou take knowledge of me," speaking of Boaz, "seeing I am a stranger?" Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. In fact, he's in the lineage of Jesus Christ in the flesh. He eventually will have a grandson by the name of David, and Jesus Christ, of course, of the seed of David. So Ruth is a picture of the Gentile bride of Christ, the church, if you will. She's a stranger. She's a Gentile. But yet she gets to get in on this thing, and not only does she get in to be the wife of a very mighty man of wealth, but she gets in on the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's a great story, and it's a moving story. As we read it in Ruth chapter 1, we read about her being poor and needy and widowed and helpless. And that's the way we find ourselves outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, "There's none that doeth good, no, not even one." So we were poor and wretched and miserable and all those things. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. And all those things, we're just a mess. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. If you could save yourself, then there would be no need of a Savior. You can't save yourself because you're helpless. And so Ruth is in a mess here. She needs somebody to help her. And Boaz is a picture of Christ. And he, of course, takes her to be his wife. And so she becomes redeemed. That's over in chapter 4. Now, this morning, I don't want to upset your theology. The Lord might want to. You know, the question would be of Ruth here, at what point does she get saved? You know, and we're using our quotation marks there, because she didn't get saved like we got saved, because this is Old Testament. Jesus Christ hasn't come. She's not going to be able to confess with her mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in her heart that God raised Him from the dead. She's not going to get saved. But if she's a picture of Christ, and when did she get saved? Well, some might say when she was redeemed in chapter 4. Well, I don't know. When did you get saved? Did you get saved? You know, I've heard people say, I believe I got saved before I got to the altar. I'm not going to argue with them. I can tell you this, the Lord knows what's in your heart. When you're willing to turn from your sins and you're trusting Him, the Lord knows what's in your heart. But I see something in chapter 2 here that I just want to share with you this morning. I know Jesus Christ said in Revelation chapter 3 and 20, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And He said, if any man hear my voice and open, He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And so I see here in Ruth chapter 2, we've got Ruth for the very first time in her life, in the beginning of a lifelong of communion with Boaz, for the very first time, she's opened the door and she and Boaz are communing together and they're having a meal together. What a beautiful sight that is. And as they're there, he says to her, and let me just go ahead and say to you, well, Brother David, maybe you're still hung up on that. I've got an answer for you. Maybe you're thinking this morning, they're not married yet. They can't be. Well, are you married yet? Revelation chapter 19 tells us in verse number 7 that the marriage of the Lamb is yet to be future. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm just trying to tell you, leave that up to Him, okay?
Yeah, amen.
Leave that up to Him. I'm just glad I'm saved, amen.
Yeah, amen.
So, here, Ruth is told by Boaz as they are communing together, even though she says to him, I am not like unto one of thine handmaidens, I'm just a stranger. He says to her, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Your morsel, your little, your crumbs, dip it in what I've got, what I've furnished for you. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. And I have, many years ago, I used this thought. It's not going to be exactly the same this morning. But I'm going to use the vinegar this morning as the Word of God. As the Word of God. And try to preach to you a little bit about how important is the Word of God this morning. The Bible. The Gospel. It's called the Word of Truth. You see, you've got to believe it to be saved.
Amen.
You've got to believe the Bible to be saved. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man's in hell, and he's praying to Abraham. He's saying, send somebody to my five brethren that are lost, lest they come to this awful place. And Abraham said, well, they got Moses and the prophets. You want Moses and the prophets? That's the Old Testament. In other words, Abraham said, they got the Bible. And he, the rich man says to Abraham, he said, no, he said, that's not enough. He said, if one would rise from the dead, he said, they would believe him. And Abraham's answer was this, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe that, neither will they believe if one rose from the dead. I'm going to tell you something, one has rose from the dead. And if people won't believe the gospel, if they won't believe that, if they think that they can go to heaven by their own good deeds, if they think they can go to heaven by being baptized or joining a church or putting their money in the offering plate, they will die and go to hell. They're going to have to believe the gospel, which is that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. He rose from the grave on the third day for our justification. And He's at the Father's right hand. You're going to have to believe the Word of God. And so it starts when you're saved. It starts when you're saved. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, we're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. I'm telling you that it started the day you got saved. You believed the Word of God. You may not even have a Bible. It might have been a gospel tract you read, or it might have been somebody's testimony that pointed you to what the Word of God says. But you believed the Word of God, or you would not have gotten saved. So Ruth takes her morsel and absorbs the vinegar, which adds flavor to her morsel. Now, I'm not a big vinegar fan. I'll just be honest. I remember my grandpa, Pa Bratcher. Grandma would make slaw, and she'd douse it in vinegar. And Mama put Miracle Whip in our coleslaw. There's a big difference between Miracle Whip and vinegar.
Yeah.
See? And I can remember thinking I liked slaw till I ate some of Pa's slaw, but I didn't much care for that. But vinegar is a flavoring, and it's used for a lot of things, from fish to salad. And I've read a little bit about vinegar. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. I'm just preaching about the Bible, okay? Take what you've got and let it absorb what God's got.
Amen.
In this book right here, and it will improve your life.
Amen.
It will add flavor to your life. It will enhance. I read where that vinegar, like salt, enhances flavor. It brings it out. And so, if you will dip your morsel, your little bitty bit of nothing that you've got, and you'll dip it in what God's got through the Word of God, it will enhance your life. It'll make something good out of something that ain't much. I used to sing that song when I was a kid, and some of you have heard it. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. I'm telling you, it's different when you dip your morsel in the vinegar. But that's only the beginning.
Amen.
So I wanted to say that this morning. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you're going to have to trust what the Lord said about salvation.
Amen.
He gave us a book. It's written down.
Amen.
It's preserved in this last day for us to know how to get to heaven. And it's called the plan of salvation. It's trust in Jesus Christ. Turning from your sin and your wicked ways to God.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ. And He'll save you. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Now go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Now I've been preaching a lot here lately on this thing of Canaan land. And getting to the land that flows with milk and honey. And so as I preach to you this morning about dipping your morsel in the vinegar, I want to go back to Joshua chapter 1, this Joshua was just about to lead the children of Israel into Canaan land. They're still on the east side of Jordan. They've yet to cross Jordan. Moses has just died. And now Joshua has been chosen to lead the children into this land that flows with milk and honey. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, we'll read starting in verse 6. And so again this morning, just like I've been preaching to you several services here lately, I want you, and I want me, to get all God's got for me in this world.
Yes.
Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people," this is the Lord speaking to Joshua, "for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land." What's the land? Well, that's the land which flows with milk and honey, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." That's the vinegar. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. "All the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest observe, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Look at verse 8. "This book of the law." Now, you got more than just five books. You got 66. Joshua just holding Genesis through Deuteronomy. Now, you've got all 66 of them. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It's been noted several times. I remember the first time I discovered it. I wasn't the first to discover it. That's the only time success is used in the Bible, right there. Only time success is used when it talks about taking God's Word and practicing it and living by it and getting it in your heart and doing what it says. He says, then you'll have good success. He says, you're going to prosper.
Yes.
You'll have good success if you'll just take my word.
Amen.
And do what you're supposed to with it. Now, I'm preaching about this thing of Canaan land. You see, prosperity and success can only be achieved with the Word of God. And that includes observing it. We saw these words, observe. verse number 7, to do according to all the law. Then we saw the word meditate therein day and night. Now, I don't think there's anybody here that said this. I hope not. But if you have, shame on you. But through the years, there have been people that say, Brother David makes too much of a big deal about the Bible quizzing for the young people. Some may think that the Bible memory, I'm starting to think Bible memory is too tough myself. Psalm 128. Well, maybe it's tough, but I can tell you this. There's a place that flows with milk and honey. And according to Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the only way to prosper and succeed in the land that flows with milk and honey is to get this book right here Amen. In our hearts and in our minds and think on it and meditate on it day and night.
Amen.
Canaan land's flowing with milk. Don't you want to succeed and prosper as a Christian?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, I can tell you this. You're not going to succeed and prosper as a Christian by spending all your time with Facebook and YouTube. God's Word is like vinegar. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And so I just want to share with you some things about vinegar. I'm not an authority on vinegar. In fact, some of these things I had read before, and I had forgotten. First of all, this morning, vinegar is powerful. Vinegar is powerful. It is acetic acid. That's what it is. It's acetic acid. It's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to share with you this morning how powerful the Word of God is. Here we go. Genesis chapter 1. And God said.
Amen.
And God said. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let the dry land appear, and the dry land appeared.
Amen.
God said, let there be a firmament between the midst of the waters and divide the waters from the waters. And there was an expanse, a big area in heaven that divided the water. And the Bible says He called it heaven. On and on, the Word of God is powerful. In the Gospels, the Bible says that Jesus Christ said to devils, come out.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know what they did? They came out.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Because there's power in His Word.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
When Jesus Christ said, a leper said to Him one day, He said, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will.
Yeah.
Be Thou clean.
Amen.
And he was cleansed.
Yeah.
You know why? Because there is power in His Word. There's power in His Word. It is the final authority.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I think this morning. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the preacher on the radio says, or what the preacher on the TV says, or what the dictionary says. I tell you, what does God say? Our opinions don't matter. Denominations don't matter. And preachers don't matter. And religions don't matter. And the Supreme Court doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is, what does God say?
Amen.
There's power from thus saith the Lord.
Yes,
so this thing of vinegar, dip thy morsel in the vinegar, is because vinegar is powerful and the Word of God is powerful.
Amen.
The Word of God is powerful. You don't have to have me tell you, our country's in a mess. We're in a mess. I'm telling you, I was telling Trish and Karen last night, we're doing a little family devotion. I kind of got a little sidetracked. I said, I've never seen around the world the Jewish people become so hated as they have become hated in my lifetime in the last few weeks. I've never seen our country so close to a civil war as what we see right now. I said, folks, we're in a mess. You know what we need? We need something powerful. And it ain't Donald Trump. And it sure ain't Joe Biden. And it ain't the Democrats and it ain't the Republicans. We need the Word of God.
Amen.
We need the Word of God. It's quick and powerful.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says, preach the Word.
Yeah.
He said there when he's talking about the Christian army, he talked about taking the shield of faith, loins girded about with truth, her feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, helmet of salvation. And then he said taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's powerful. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. He said, Brother David, I can't do much. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar.
Amen.
Vinegar cleans. Now, listen, I ain't giving you, ain't going to have no money involved in this. I'll give you a money back guarantee, okay? I'm just telling you what I read. There's got to be some truth to it. Vinegar cleans floors and carpet and brass, piano keys, copper, silver, chrome, stainless steel, glass. It gets off mildew, stains, ink, and stickers. Vinegar's pretty powerful stuff. It cleans. Now, there's a verse in Psalm 119. You know Psalm 119. It's that longest, long chapter in the Bible. Verse number 9 is one of my favorites in the whole chapter. It says, wherewithal. That's a word that just means, how in the world? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I tell you, we got some young men in this country that by the time they're 16, 17, they're already so deep in sin, they'll never get out on their own. There ain't enough rehab, there ain't enough school and reforms to get them out of the mess they're in by the time they're 16, 17 year old nowadays.
Amen.
But the book says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to clean up a young man? This book right here. It'll clean up an old man. It'll clean up a family. It'll clean up a country. This thing cleans. Ephesians chapter 5, the husbands are told to love their wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to it for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, he said, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, talking to his disciples.
Good.
Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Absorb it. Meditate in it day and night. It's powerful. It'll clean you up.
Amen.
It'll clean you up. I'm amazed at how many parents and these, I'm talking about church going parents. I don't know where we went wrong. I don't know where we were. And so, you know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I wonder where I went wrong too. But I tell you what, you can't go wrong getting this book in their hearts.
Amen.
And it's not going to get in their heart if it don't get in their head.
Amen.
It cleans. Vinegar cleans. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Vinegar not only cleans, but it is an odor remover. It will clean odors out of rooms, off of hands. It will even remove one of the most powerful odors known to man, skunk odor. Okay? Skunk odor can be removed by vinegar. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. The woman at the well, she's got a tarnished life. But the Word of God helped her. Zacchaeus, he was a thief. Nobody liked to be around Zacchaeus. Nobody wanted to be around Zacchaeus. He had stolen. He had cheated his fellow countrymen as a tax collector. He would do all he could to put all the money in his pocket that he could. But after the Word of God cleaned him up, people wanted to be around Zacchaeus. You know why? Because he's saying things, well, if I took anything from him, made by false accusation, I'm giving back four times what I took from him. Well, they're lining up to be Zacchaeus' friend. Even the odor was removed. Thank God some of us, in fact all of us, used to stink. Not only did His Word clean us up, it removed the stink. Now, I don't want to, I certainly don't want to embarrass anybody, but I appreciate Sister Debbie's testimony. We've got a couple of men in our church, and at least two, and I'm just talking about men right now that have spent time in jail. One of them's a Sunday school teacher. One of them addressed the men's Sunday school class this morning.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the Word of God has not only cleaned them up, it's took the stink away. Say, Brother David, I wouldn't say that. Well, you stink too.
Yeah.
Till the book cleans you up.
Amen.
And this Word of God is able to take the stink away. You see, I found, and people don't like being around a stink. I found out that vinegar is even used for antiperspirant. Okay. That'll help a little bit. If you ever run out of antiperspirant or deodorant, if you got vinegar, get you a little, put it where you need to. Vinegar repels. I've not tried it. I can't vouch for it for sure, but I've read again this morning that deer and raccoons are repelled from your garden by vinegar. But not only that, vinegar repels ants and fleas and ticks and some other insects. Vinegar. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar.
Amen.
I can tell you this. The Word of God repels temptation.
Yeah. Amen.
It repels the devil.
Matthew
chapter 4, the devil comes to Jesus three times and tempts him. At least three things that we know of, the temptations that are given to us. And it was the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life that Jesus Christ was tempted with. And every time that Jesus was tempted, he said, "It is written." You got the same book. You know what you can say? You know what you can use? Well, I've done talked about the sword of the Spirit. I mentioned the shield of faith. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know how to repel the devil when you're tempted? Start quoting the Bible to him. It repels the devil. It repels temptations. It kills weeds. Vinegar kills weeds. Somebody try this and tell me if it works or not. I'd read it before. I read it again this morning. I even looked it up again to make sure I got it right. A 5 to 10% concentrate of vinegar and water has an 85 to 100% kill rate of weeds. I don't know. It might be cheaper than Roundup. I don't know. A 5 to 10% concentrate of vinegar has an 85 to 100% kill rate of weeds. You know what you can, you know how you can treat your bad habits? With the Word of God.
Amen. Good.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yes.
You know, there's the story, and I failed to mention this morning, the story of the parable. It's Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13. The sower went forth to sow, and then Jesus explained it in Luke chapter 8. He said, the seed is the Word of God. I done told you that. But it talked about the set that came up among thorns, and the thorns choked it. Won't you take the Word of, instead of being overcome of evil, won't you take the Word of God to the thorns in your life?
Amen. Good.
See if it won't kill out some of the weeds in your life. Some of the bad habits, some of the things that you shouldn't do that you do. Some of the things that your mind gets astray on that you shouldn't. Either the world will keep you from your Bible or your Bible will keep you from the world.
Good.
One or the other. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. It kills weeds. It has healing powers. The vinegar does. Sore throats, cold sores, athlete's foot, bee stings, muscle cramps. Trisha had no idea what I was going to be preaching on this morning. And I heard her getting around this morning. I went and found her. I said, "How are you doing?" She got a bad headache. I said, "Get some vinegar." I said, "Try it." She said, "How?" She said, "What, rub it on my head or..." I said, "Get you a piece of a biscuit, dip it in vinegar." I'm just going on what the Scripture said. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She didn't try it. Headaches and backaches, even dandruff, can be taken care of, at least I'm reading right, by vinegar. Now, you say, "Brother David, I doubt it." Well, if half this stuff's true, it's pretty good. I can tell you this, the pharmaceutical companies don't want you using vinegar. They'd rather give you a shot. Healing powers. You want to heal your home. You want to heal the relationships in your life. You want to heal America.
Amen.
This book right here.
Yes, sir.
It's got healing powers.
Yes.
Healing powers. Proverbs 25:20 says, "As vinegar upon nitre." I told you vinegar is an acid, nitre is a base, and those two things counteract and have a chemical reaction. Some of you have done this before, but you can pour some baking soda. I don't know if it's recommended or not by the plumbing world, but anyways, you can take baking soda, put it down the drain, pour some vinegar on top, and I'm telling you, it does something. I don't know what it does, but it does something. It may eat your pipes up. I don't know. But it does a bubbling and a gurgling and a going on, and it's supposed to unclog drains. I'll tell you this. There's a bunch of people. Now remember, I'm preaching to the church mainly this morning. There's a bunch of people need their prayer life unclogged.
Amen. Yes.
Some people need their Bible reading unclogged. Some people hadn't had any joy flowing in their heart in a long time. How are they going to get that unclogged? Get in the book.
Amen.
Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Let God's Word move the clog out of the way.
Yes.
It unclogs drains. I'm anxious to try this, and I need to find out how to do this. I don't know if it makes a film or not, but it is supposed. Vinegar keeps frost off your windshield. Okay. Now, it may not be worth it. It may be the film on there that you can't see out of. I don't know. But vinegar keeps frost off of glass. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Jeremiah said this way. He said, and I'm paraphrasing. Jeremiah said, I just made up my mind. I wasn't going to say anything else about the Lord. But he said, His Word was like a fire in my bones.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's what we see all around the church world today. We're all around the Christian, so-called Christian world. If the love of many is waxed cold, I tell you what, we've got to get back to the Word of God.
Amen. Yes.
It'll keep the frost off the windshield.
Right.
It's a rust remover. You rusty? Some of you are rusty.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Some of you ain't read your Bible. You don't even remember the last time you read your Bible when it wasn't at church. You're rusty.
Yes.
When's the last time you started praying and prayed for 5 minutes? Much less 30 minutes. Rusty in your prayer life.
Yes.
Rusty in your Bible. Some rusty of church attendance.
Yes.
Rusty in witnessing. Rusty in your zeal. Well, vinegar's a rust remover.
Amen.
Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. James put it this way, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, listen, I'm not against books, but I like what Brother Sam Gipp said. Did you know there's a book for everything? I've told this story before, but when I think Jacob was just a baby, but at some point in time, somebody, we just had two or three kids at home. But somebody gave me a book about raising kids. It was a Christian book. They obviously had never read it. They just thought it looked good and they gave it to me. Okay. I read in that thing that a good father will devote at least 1 hour a day to his children. And I thought, man, maybe it was more. I remember thinking, I've got six kids. That's 6 hours a day. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying, you don't have to read all those other books. Just read this book.
Amen.
And Brother Sam Gipp said this. That's what I started to tell you. Don't read books about a book you won't read.
Amen. That's good.
Don't read books about a book you won't read. This is the book you need to read.
Amen.
Don't spend your time. Don't waste your time reading about what somebody else says about this book if you won't read this book. Don't waste your time reading what Dr. So-and-so says about this book. Just read the book.
Amen.
I'm not saying that it's wrong to read other books. I'm not saying that you can't be enlightened. I'm just saying this is it right here.
Amen.
This is it.
Amen. Thank you.
It's the Word of God and we've got it. We've got
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And you know what we need? This is what we need right here. This is what our homes need.
Yes, sir.
This is what our families need. It started when we got saved. It started when we got saved. We commune with Him. He shared with us, maybe through somebody, maybe through a gospel tract, maybe through a sermon, maybe through a gospel song. He shared with us the Word of God. And we believed it. And we dipped our morsel in the vinegar. And it changed us. But that's just the start. That's just the start. There's so much more. And Canaan land, this land that flows with milk and honey, is a land that can be only succeeded in and only prospered in as we prosper in the book of God. Rebecca, come to the piano if you would this morning. I don't know how the Lord might have spoken to you this morning, but I can tell you this. Whatever your problem is, there's an answer right here. I may not have the answer. all of us together may not be able to fix you up. But I tell you, this book right here will fix you up if you'll just follow it. You know, Mark Twain said this, and Mark Twain had a lot of interesting quotes. I'm not saying that all of his quotes are good quotes. Mark Twain said, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me." He said, "When I read the Bible, what bothers me is what I do understand."
Yeah. Amen.
You know, for some of you, you need to quit worrying about the things you don't understand.
Amen.
There's some things you do understand. You just need to take care of that.
Good.
And if you'll take care of that, God will help you maybe understand some of these other things that you're wondering about. "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's all stand this morning.